Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Raw Talks, episode 4. Sarah and Simba here.
Yes, live from the farm.
Live from the farm. Yeah, so we host a retreat center in Chiang Mai, Thailand, called Living with the Spirit. And this is a stress and trauma release healing center where we teach people how to self-heal.
Yes.
And what else do we do, honey?
Well, we use natural methods essentially, right? So we're teaching people natural tools and practices that they can bring with themselves into any environment, regardless of where they're at, and which creates a state of safety, which allows the body to start to heal, right? If your body is not feeling safe, it's not going to heal. So it's both a theoretical approach, but it's also a practical one where you actually get an experience of being safe and being in a safe container, and that your body gets to experience that, and then shift is going to happen because your body is going to start to heal when it's no longer trying to protect itself from any perceived danger or past event that has happened.
Yeah, so the farm is for those who need to remove themselves from their current lifestyle or living environment and come to a place with a full intention of healing, one might say. This whole place is created to activate all the body's self-healing mechanisms. And we work tons with grounding and grounding the nervous system so all the self-healing mechanisms can be activated and so we can allow the body to start to release the stress and the trauma. So this whole place is like a holding place for emotional healing and detoxifying the body, mind, and spirit, because we work on all levels and we want to move the stagnant energy in the body to help to release and work through the things that are no longer serving us. And then so we release, and then we also work with building the integrity and empowerment, and also building like stress resilience. So that's a little bit about who we are and what we do. And today's topic is about how to build your life force. But before we start talking about how to build it, what would you say is like, why would you build it?
It's really the fuel that you use for anything in life, right? Your life force is the fuel, like in a car, right? You have gasoline or diesel or electricity nowadays, batteries. And if you have no electricity, if you have no use, then you can only come so far, right? You can't really go anywhere if you don't have the right amount of fuel. And if you're going to do a change in your lifestyle, or if you're going to heal, work through an event that has happened to you, a trauma or a adverse childhood experience, whatever it is, stress, injury, pain, disappointment, then you're going to need energy, right? You're probably going to need a little bit more energy than you're used to having in your everyday life, because it costs energy to do a change, right? Things will come up. It's nothing impossible, but it just happens, right? When we work with something, when we work with self-healing, things come up. So in order to have a buffer, to have a fuel, right, then we need to increase our life force so we have that energy to actually mobilize and fuel ourselves and our intention, our thoughts, our actions, so we can promote a change in our life, right?
Yeah. Yep. All transformation costs energy. And what we see in the world right now is that a lot of people get burned out. they get very, very stressed, and they get like actual physical complications out of the stress, and that's a result of the lacking life force. It's like you're burning in both ends. The life force is supposed to carry us through our whole life, not just until we're 30 or 40 or 20 something, which we see it go down very young in ages nowadays, with people getting burnt out, they're getting stress symptoms. So building your life force, it doesn't really matter if you what you want to accomplish in life. If it's the life force that will take you to the moon or to a certain job or a certain relationship or a certain feeling or a certain transformation, or if no matter if you want to go towards something or from something, it doesn't matter. The life force will take you there. So it's very, very beneficial for anything that you want to do. And since we are completely focused on personal development, happiness, and working through the stress and the trauma, then the life force is what's going to take you there.
I agree.
So we gathered five things that will definitely help you build your life force. So what would that be?
I would say numero uno, the first one.
Numero uno.
Yes.
Is it a drum roll on the number one?
Yeah, I don't have a drum here, but it's sleep, your circadian rhythm, right? And I know it's not really the most sexiest of all the tools, but it is a superpower, right? The way your body will recharge itself and start to heal once you have a proper sleep, a good night's sleep every night. And I'm not saying, you know, you might not have bad dreams or something comes up, but the point that you have a routine, I go to bed at this time, I start to wind down, and I sleep from this hour to this hour, right? That your body gets that habit, that window where it can rest, that promotes safety, stability, clarity, and, you know, creates like a sense of direction for every cell in your body. It's the platform, it's the fertile ground, right? Like you're going to plant a seed, you need a fertile ground. If everything is dry and there's no vitality in the ground, you can't really plant anything. And this is kind of the same, right? Your sleep and circadian rhythm is the base. If you don't have that, you're going to have a lot of challenges. And I would probably say it might not be possible to make a sustainable and conscious change in your life.
Mm. Yeah, the sleep. So what we talk about a lot is to activate the self-healing mechanisms in the body, because the body is repairing itself constantly. And with sleep, that's like the sleep is there. It's like closed for like repairing. That's like what it is. And if you close down the repairing station, then nothing is going to get repaired. So not only do you have the energy to go through the day, you're also breaking down the vehicle, like your meat vehicle, that is supposed to carry you. So it's like if you look at it as from a completely technical view, it's like you're supposed to go into the garage and heal during nighttime, and then I'm supposed to have 8 hours, but I'm only going to go in four. Mm-hmm. Then it's like you're not, it's like you're also charging. It's like you're an electric vehicle, so you need 8 hours of electrical charge, but you only go in for four. You're going to last half as long, and the vehicle is going to start to break down.
And also when it comes to the brain,
yeah,
the different parts of the brain is, I think it was Matthew Walker that did this analogy. He's a sleep scientist in Berkeley University in California. And he wrote an amazing book, like Why We Sleep, I think it's called. And he said, when you are sleeping at night, it's almost like you're having a a meeting. I'm thinking like the 12-step program, when they have process meeting, you sit down and you share something, everyone listens to you, you feel heard, you feel seen, maybe someone offers an advice, and then the next person gets to say their part, right? So everyone kind of feels welcome, you got to say your part, you felt heard, you felt seen. And that's kind of what happens at night in the brain too. The different parts of the brain kind of talk like, wow, that was tough. Where do we store this? What do we do with that information?
Yeah, so it's like that, processing, you know, deep processing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and if you lose that,
yeah,
you won't process things, right?
Yeah, so you won't deal with the things that you are faced. The sleep is giving us so many layers of being balanced. And if we remove that, we go out of balance on a lot of different, in a lot of different ways. So getting the amount of hours, and preferably the same hours every night, and not being awake during the night. So ideally is like 10 to 6 or 11 to 7 or something like that. All right, step 2, nutrition habits and detox. What do you have to say about that?
So sleep is the fertile ground where we want to plant. The nutrition is the seeds. It's the quality of the seeds, which essentially is the capacity of what the seed will become, right? So the seed is the nutrition, what you drink and what you put in your mouth, or I would argue even on your skin, not just even going in your mouth, right? Anything that your body comes in contact with, it will absorb. And the purer, more potent, more vital everything that you eat or drink or put on your skin is, the more life force you're actually putting inside of your body, right? The healthier the seed is, which will grow into new cells, which would produce new muscles, organs, whatever it is that your body needs, right? So it is, if you say that you can't really do it without sleep, well, sleep and nutrition together, right? If you have those two, you're gonna come so far, right? There's a lot of other things to go, but if you have the sleep and the nutrition, wow, I argue you probably have 50% of the equation already, right? If you have a good natural balance with these two.
Yeah. The food is really, because the food costs a lot of energy. So it's like the night and day shift, like in what you can and what you like, the different choices you have in your nutrition. So anything that takes a lot of time and energy for the body to digest is it costs you life energy. And if you're low on life force, you want to activate the body again. It's like you want to turn everything on. You want to turn on the kidneys, you want to turn on the liver, you want to turn on the stomach, the spleen, the heart, the lungs, like all of it. And you do that by eating tons of raw fruits and vegetables, because they cost nothing to digest and they're full of the nutrition that the body needs to heal. So the balance is that the body will have much, much more energy to heal with the self-healing mechanisms, the cellular regeneration that goes on and on and on in the body. But if we eat a lot of heavy foods, a lot of processed foods, a lot of fat, a lot of salt, a lot of meat, a lot of unhealthy things, the body will, it's like the life force that we have for that day is like consumed by, or even more, by breaking down and digesting the different foods that we eat. So instead, if we give the body a lot of ready, like building blocks from fruits and vegetables, then it doesn't cost anything, and the body can just send out the forces to regenerate the cells, and you have a shift. It's like instead of costing, you're healing.
Yes.
So that's why the food is. Yeah. number two. No.
I agree.
Super, super important.
Yes.
So the third one is movement and physical exercise.
Well, it's to kind of bring something in, right? So your body is in a constant flux of adaptation. And what that essentially means is your body is always, it needs something to grow or to calibrate with, right? So your body is always looking for ways of being as vital, as balanced and energy efficient as possible. So if you don't move your body goes, hey, all of these muscles cost a lot of energy. Let's get rid of those because we don't use them. You know, we're not moving if you don't move. So then we lose a lot of that, right? But if you start to move, then your body is going to say, okay, we need these muscles. We're adapting to the newly met demands. And also movement is probably one of the few ways that you can work with lymphatic system fluids, which kind of cleans your body, every cell of your body pees and poos. So the lymphatic system is a fluid-based system that is kind of like a, you know, like a sewer system, right? That it clears everything out of your body. And the lymphatic system gets worked when we're moving. So whenever you're moving, you're pumping your lymphatic system, which helps to clear out toxins, residues, waste particles, and so on. It's also very important for temperature control and regulation because we're sweating, right? And I learned this many years ago. I had a teacher, martial arts teacher in New York. And every time the season would change, right? The weather, we go spring, autumn, summer, fall, all of these different changes. We were training outdoors for 1 to 2 weeks. So your body gets adapted to the newly met demands. And I didn't get that sick. I wasn't as bothered by the weather. I didn't get all the SED, the seasonal affective disorder. People develop depressions because it's dark all the time and there's no sunlight. You don't get any vitamin D. So movement is a massive, massive component as well because you spend energy and your body brings new energy in, right? It's kind of literally changing the energy in your body and it's growing because you're putting demands on your body with moving, physical exercise, walking and such, and your body goes, okay, we need to meet up to these new demands and it will grow muscles and cardiovascular capacities. You can breathe more, oxygenize your brain and so on and so on.
Yeah, it's the exercise is it's an exercise. It exercises every aspect of the body to stay strong and healthy. And because if we don't move, the energy will get stagnant. And it's from stagnation where any kind of illness, pain, emotional blockage, all of that is connected to the stagnation. And if we don't, it's like you have a pot. If you don't stir it, it's going to fall to the floor and become stagnant. So we need to move to keep the energy healthy. And also it's a self-healing mechanism in an energetical and emotional way, because as you said, you shift the energy. It's like you can clear energy with physical movement. And also it's the body needs the movement to keep ourselves regulated on a hormonal basis, because it's the natural antidepressants in the body. So we are designed to move, we need to move, and as long as we move, we will, together with the other pillars, we will have an upward going spiral. If we don't, we will start to spiral down in stagnation and depression and like emotional like we get affected on by emotional stuff, but it comes from the inside. It's not affected but from the outside. It's generated from the inside, so it's super important. And it's not like you need to exercise, you don't have to do CrossFit every day. It's not like a performance based. It's movement based. It's not about how much you can do and how strong. It's not about that at all. It's like moving the body every day, feeling healthy, being happy in that. So movement equals happiness, I would say.
Yes, I agree.
So what's the fourth one?
Wait, I have to look at my sheet.
Daily practices.
Daily practices. Yeah, morning routine and daily practices in general. And I would argue to say the morning routine and the evening routines are very important, but if you're getting started, the evening routine is probably going to be more important than your morning routine. Because if you don't have a good evening routine,
I don't agree.
You're not going to get to bed in time. And if you don't get to bed in time, if you're just lying in bed and you're thinking about things, you're not going to wake up refreshed. And you're not going to be able to do any of those things. That doesn't mean that your morning routine is not important, but it means your evening routine is creating the fertile ground for you even to have a morning routine. You go to bed really late and you watch crazy movie until super late, right? Like very engaging, like high music, violence, or a lot of things like that. It will take a while for your brain to relax before it goes to bed, right? And so having an evening routine will create an environment. And, you know, I'm not really talking about anything advanced here. I mean, like just like go back to when you raise a child, right? What do you do before they go to bed? Or we lie down and we read those little fairy tales and we dimmer down the light and we cuddle a little bit and talk and they fall asleep. And that's the same mechanism for us as adults, right? It's just that we condition ourselves socially that I'm an adult, I don't need to slow down, right? I can just turn off like a machine, but that's not true. You still need to unwind at some point in some capacity, form or another, for your brain and body to kind of sync up. Have you done a lot of physical things all day, but your brain hasn't had a chance to kind of be processing or using its resources or hasn't been stimulated, right? So your body's super tired and your brain is like, it's talking, doing things. Maybe you had a very, very mental day, right? Your work is requiring you to do a lot of things mentally, but your body is kind of fresh and hasn't been used. You've been sitting down talking all day. So your head is super tired and you can't even focus on anything. And your body's like, I want to move, I want to do something. So the evening routine really helps you to synchronize that your brain and the body kind of nervous system is on the same level and it goes, okay, we're good. We finish this day and then we wake up and have a good morning routine. And the morning routine sets you up for the day, right? So if you don't have a morning routine, it's like your day can start at any point, right? So the morning routine is really like the framework for how you move on in the rest of your day, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a definite advocate for the morning routine. If you have a really good morning routine, the evening routine is going to come by itself. That's my theory. Because if you get up every day the same time and you do your thing, then you build character, you build integrity, you build self-love, you build grounding, you build emotional regulation, you build stress resilience. It's like the morning routine is what travels. That's the magic carpet that you will ride in your self-healing journey toward, or transformation journey towards any transformation. Doesn't matter what you want to accomplish. If you have a solid morning routine, things are going to happen so fast. So fast will the transformation will come. And if you start to feel the benefits and you start to get up that in that time in the morning and you're really dedicated to your practice, then the evening routine will be like a breeze because, yeah, the body loves routine and you will start to fall asleep at the same time. And the better, the more you do your morning routines, the less you're going to be drawn to anything that is activating unhealthy, low frequency, anything during the evenings. But the best thing is definitely to do both.
I agree. The best thing is to do both. Yes. Have a daily practice.
Yes, that's why it's called a daily practice.
Yeah. Cool.
So the daily practice, usually what I teach is to preferably have four blocks to start with meditation. After that, I suggest to do EFT. And then some kind of movement could be chi dynamics or movement or exercise or any kind of that. And the fourth one is reflection, to reflect on what's going on inside the body. And you have this time in the morning to spend with yourself. It's like you prolong the garage that you rolled into during night. It's like the first thing you go do when you come out in the morning from sleep is like, okay, who am I? What am I feeling? How am I doing? How can I improve myself? And it's like just getting you ready for the day. And if you ground the first thing that you do in the morning, then that will set you up for the rest of the day. So it's a gift, the little magic carpet of morning and evening routines.
Yeah.
And we touched a little bit on the fifth one. This could also be one of the bigger ones, but they are, they're almost equally important. And
And it's like, it's hard to go too deep into any one of these. Like, we always want to share as much as we can, you know, and that's our nature of how we are. But this is kind of just to give you small nuggets of how you can start to work with your life force in general, right? Because your life force, you might need more specific tools or coaching or support to really reach this goal of increasing your life force, right? So this is small nuggets that you can get that will probably get you going quite fast. And if there's something that really gets stuck, like I can't continue from here, or something comes up, or I self-sabotage or procrastinate, whatever it is, then that's definitely where it's a good time to seek out a coach, a mentor. We have master classes and so on that can kind of help you move forward if you feel stuck. But I would really say that these are all nuggets of how you can start to build your life force, and the life force is definitely the fuel that you will use for any change, and not just for change, for life in general, right? The more vitality you have, not just the longer you live, but the better quality of life you will have. It's not about I'm going to be 120 years, but I have 40 years lying and not being able to move, incapacitated. I'm not going to say that that's a bad quality of life, but if we can do something to prevent it, then I think most people will do, right? That I have a vital and strong body so I can really do all the things I want to do for a long period of time during my life, because it's going to give joy to myself and to everyone else around me. The quality of your life is probably going to be very much richer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, and that's why people come to us and they ask us, how can I make my quality of life better? I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. So can you please help me to transform and to build the life forces is like the real foundations of any transformation work, or any illness or depression or pain or stress or trauma. Life force is needed. So what is the fifth and last point?
Well, that is grounding, essentially. Grounding and self-regulation. And it is something that you can do standalone, of course, that you practice on the grounding. It's kind of like a tree, right? Grounding is like a tree that has deep roots. And the roots are not just deep. The tree's roots go wide. And why I use this analogy is because if there's a big storm, the tree that has deep roots will just sway. Maybe it loses a few branches, but it'll survive and it won't really be affected. It just sways. And if we grounded and rooted, that's the same. When everything around us gets challenging or very tumultuous, or there's a lot of things that goes on that can make us unsettled, which, you know, you've been alive the last 2-3 years, you've probably seen a lot of things being tumultuous and changing in the world. But the grounding really gives you those deep, deep roots connected to who you are, not what you think you are, what you think you have to do because of what's happening around you. It really brings you back to your core and keeps you at your core, no matter what happens around you or no matter what might pop up inside of you. It's like really a way back to yourself, no matter the situation or circumstances that you find yourself in.
Yeah. And also the activation of the nervous system is like absolute key to any transformation, because no self-healing can occur when the nervous system is activated, with the fight and flight is activated. We're supposed to be activated for shorter periods of time, but that's not the case. And I mean, we're talking about people who need help with stress, trauma, chronic pain, and depression and things like that. So we're not talking to the healthy people who are doing super well. We're talking to the people who need to do some sort of transformation. So if we are experiencing any kind of symptom, then the nervous system is most likely not super grounded. But when it is, that all the self-healing mechanisms in the body will be activated. And you know, when during a long time in my own journey, that I didn't understand the term that bliss is our natural state of being. That is our natural feeling. And when you start to feel what grounding actually feels like, you realize that that's absolutely true. We're supposed to feel absolute bliss. That is our natural state, but that is equal grounding. So the grounding does not only heal our emotional, physical, and spiritual. It's actually the natural state, and we're supposed to feel safe and have all these self-healing mechanisms going on helping us to digest the life experience that we are supposed to enjoy.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So the grounding is super, super important. Yeah, that's our 5 tips for how to build your life force. And if you feel like you need more support, reach out to us. You can just email us at sarah@livingwiththespirit.com. We have multiple different options for you to get more information and to work with us. We have monthly masterclasses. We are launching a group transformation program for people who want to transform but are not able to come to the farm and need some support and community. So we're launching that in February.
And it's also for people who have been at the farm, yes, but might come back to a society or a social setting that might not be as supportive to the journey as we were at the farm, right? So it's a way of continuing your work or starting your work, right?
Yeah, I would say that the transformation work is ongoing, and being at the farm is probably just a part of that. It's a deep dive or a kickoff or a boost or, yeah. So the group program is an evergreen program, so it's an ongoing conversation that you can it's a subscription, monthly subscription, so you can jump on and off whenever you feel like. And so keep your eyes and ears and toes out for us launching this program. And we have one-on-one sessions where you can work with me and Simba. And there's a structured way that we work with our clients, and it's very appreciated, where you have a lot of support in between the sessions and homework assignments and things like that.
It's really a journey, right? We allow you to embark on a journey that takes a period of time and give you the necessary tools, challenges for you to grow, but also the space to feel what comes up and to ground and expand within that, right? So the one-on-one session is, it's really a deep going journey, right? Yeah. Where people just have amazing transformative experiences and like, wow, I can't imagine I lived my life differently than I'm doing now. Because whenever you come into that new space inside of yourself, it feels so natural. It feels like, why haven't I done this my whole life, right?
Yeah. And you can also, of course, come to the farm and enjoy our somatic stress and trauma release retreats and our programs. The whole place is designed for healing. So we have a vast group activity that is highly appreciated, where we teach you, you experience. You have the group, and and it's the food and the detox protocols and the environment, the dogs, the ducks. It's like you have a whole cheerleader team that is rooting for you. So the whole place is designed for healing, and people are having very, very deep experiences here. So.
The things we talked about is exactly what you're saying, right? When people come to the retreat, then we're dealing with all these areas that we talked about, the sleep, the grounding, food, the movement. All of these aspects is what we'll be teaching people, right? So like Sarah said, we allow people to enter into a lifestyle bubble. We get to practice and build your life force up. It might not be the same, you might not have the same options when you get back to where you're at in your environment, but you know nuggets of what to pick, and you know the framework for how to build a lifestyle, right? So you know how to build your lifestyle based on what you experienced there at the farm, and you can bring that with you back home and create your dream life no matter where you are.
Yeah, our goal is for our clients to not need us. Everything that we teach is natural, it's proven, it's safe, it's not dangerous, and all of it you can do by yourself. So that's why people come here also to learn. Excuse me. All right, that about that. Thank you for listening, and see you next week. So the podcast is nowadays on Fridays at 4 p.m. Bangkok time. New time from today.
New time from today. And looking forward, we'll invite in some teachers and fun guests, and we'll update you with more about how the next upcoming episode is going to look like.
Yeah, and if you have suggestions or requests, let us know. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful weekend and see you soon. See you next week. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.